Everybody able to get up? Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out tonight. I'd like for you to please take your Bible and turn to the book of Nehemiah. I'd like for you to stand, please, as we'll read the Word of God together tonight, and we'll honor the reading of the Word of God by standing. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And this is our key verse tonight. This is the main one we'll be focusing on. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall the journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now tonight is Wednesday night. And Wednesday night is a night that we spend time praying for one another. So I thought it'd be a good and appropriate time to preach about a Nehemiah prayer. And our key verse tonight is verse number 4. And you may be asking, well, what is a Nehemiah prayer? Well, you should already know. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you, because you're going to need them. All right? Let's pray once more, and then we'll get going here. Brother Adams, would you pray for the message tonight, and we'll all be seated.
Kind Father, we thank you for your grace, the opportunity to be able to be here.
Yes.
Pray, Lord, for the pastor, and pray, Father, that you give him the unction that he needs as he preaches the word of God to us, and may it strengthen and encourage our hearts,
yes, Lord,
as we contemplate, look at your word, and all the needs that are represented, and Father, that you see fit to work them out according to your will and for each person. And pray, Father, we'll get from this lesson tonight, from yes. thy word, just what we need.
Yes.
And we pray it in Christ's name. He's worthy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Now, I want us to look at the context of the passage, and then we'll get into it. The book of Nehemiah is about the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. Now, I want you to remember that Jerusalem was destroyed along with the temple by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Many of the Jews were taken into captivity, and mostly the poor were left in Jerusalem. Persia, under the rule of Cyrus, comes in and takes over the Babylonian kingdom. And it is Cyrus that decrees that the Jews should go back and rebuild the temple. That is what the book of Ezra is about. It's about rebuilding the temple. So then you get to the next book over. This is Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, of course, is about building the walls back. So when you get to the first chapter in the book of Nehemiah, you see that one of Nehemiah's kinfolk comes and gives him a visit. And while he's visiting him, Nehemiah asks him about how the Jews are doing that are living in Jerusalem. What is the condition of that city, Jerusalem? And the answer was not good. His kinfolk told him they weren't doing too good. He said, they're in great affliction and reproach. And then he told him this. He said, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It wasn't a good report. Now, Nehemiah got all tore up about it, which he should. That's a special place for him as a Jew. And that's his folks there. And the Bible says that he begins to weep and he mourns. And the Bible says that he fasts and he prays. And chapter 2 tells us that Nehemiah was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. Now, the cupbearer, of course, was a man that tasted the wine or tasted whatever before the king did. That way, if somebody tried to poison the king, it would kill the cupbearer instead of him. It's a wonderful job to have. I don't know what they paid you to do that, but it wasn't enough. But he was a cupbearer. And one day, as the passage goes on and tells us, he's standing before the king. And the king, the Bible says that the king noticed that he was sad. Now, verse number 2 says that Nehemiah said, "Then I was very sore afraid." Why? Because he could get in a lot of trouble. He could be in prison or have his head taken off for having the audacity to stand in front of the king and be sad. Boy, I'd like to know how you always stand in front of people and not be sad. You know, I wish I could hide my emotions better. I wish I could come across as something. Not to be fake. You know I hate fake. But sometimes it's just time to play the man. But unfortunately, I can't hide nothing. My face tells it all. My emotions tell it all. And I think that's quite a thing to say, "Hey, man, don't ever come in my presence and be down about anything." Well, I'd probably get my head cut off. So one day he's standing before the king. The king noticed that he's sad. And which could have absolutely spelled out trouble for Nehemiah. And then Nehemiah goes for it. He tells the king that he's sad because Jerusalem's in such a bad condition. The city walls are, and the sepulchers where his fathers are buried is in such pitiful condition. And then the king says this. He says, "Well, what do you want?" And then you get to Nehemiah's prayer. And that's what I want us to just take just a few minutes tonight and understand. What is a Nehemiah prayer? A Nehemiah prayer, by the way, has anybody ever heard of a Nehemiah prayer? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. A Nehemiah prayer is not a prayer that you can have a long time to pray it. It's not one that you even know that you're going to pray until it happens. It's a all of a sudden thing. It's not a thing where you just have a time set. And listen, this is what I believe about prayer tonight, okay? I believe prayer in every Christian's life should be done consistently. I believe it should be done daily. I believe it should be some scheduled prayer involved in it, as well as impromptu prayer for whatever. I think it should be done regularly. But you had better learn here tonight. Listen, you had better learn here tonight how to give a Nehemiah prayer. Because there's going to be some times in your life where things happen and it come upon you. And out of a result of you trying to walk with God and trying to already have fellowship with God, it should come natural. Because when you look at this prayer, listen to me tonight. Nehemiah is standing before the king. He's sad. All of a sudden, the king calls his deal. He said, "What's wrong with you, man? You don't look so happy today." And he's like, uh-oh. And then he says, "Well, I'm just going to put them all out. If he kills me. I'm sad because of the shape of Jerusalem. I'm sad because the walls are not repaired. I'm sad because the sepulchers are still in disarray where my fathers are buried." And the king looks at him and he says, "Okay, what do you want done? What are you asking? What's your request?" And he takes a few seconds between the question and the answer and he says he prays to God. It's like, "God, give me the answer. Show me what to say to the man." That's a Nehemiah prayer. You better learn how to pray them. It better get to where it's second nature. You don't even have to think about it when things come up. That the first thing I do is I'm not answering. I'm not doing anything. I'm not responding. I'm not moving. You may not can tell it, but I'm staring at you like this and you think I got this blank stare on my face. It's not because I'm in another world. Hopefully I'm talking to another world. Because I'm unsure about the situation. I don't know what to do in the situation. I don't know how to respond to the situation. a few examples of what I'm talking about with the Nehemiah prayer. Every time as a pastor, when the phone rings in the middle of the night, and if you're a pastor, you know that, you're offering up a Nehemiah prayer. If it's 1:30 or 2 o'clock and the phone rings, I don't wake up and thinking, hey man, somebody's inviting me over for cake. If your phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not going to be good. So when the phone rings, I instantly start getting up and my heart starts beating real fast. And I'm like, and I start my Nehemiah prayer. What's that? Well, I've got about 3 or 4 seconds to answer the phone. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello? In 4 seconds, I better find out something from God, because he knows who's on the other line. I don't. He knows what the problem is. I don't. He knows what has just happened to somebody. I don't. I can't plan it. I can't get prepared for it. I don't have anything. I have to get in touch with God instantly to try to offer some comfort and help to somebody on the other side. You better believe I've had several Nehemiah prayers in my life. When someone calls me on the phone, another preacher or a church member with a Bible question, or sometimes somebody will come to my office and say, I'll come in there and they'll say, Brother Dennis, can I talk to you? Most of the people, and some of you sitting in here that's done that, you don't know when I say, yeah, brother, come on. Yeah, sister, come on. And we're walking to the office. Do you know what I'm doing from that door to that office door? I'm giving a Nehemiah prayer. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what he's going through. I don't know what he needs to know. I don't know nothing. God, you'll have to help me. I can't help this fella if you don't help me. I'm praying. Somebody calls me on the phone and says, preacher, I got a question for you. If you've never done that, you know what I'll do. I'll say, all right, go ahead. And while you're asking the question and while the thing's unfolding, do you know what I'm doing? I'm offering up my Nehemiah prayer. God, whatever they're going to ask me, I pray you'd show me the scripture, show me the wisdom, and give it to me. God, help us if any preacher would think that he would never ever need to do that. Not only do preachers need to do it, we as humans, just regular, whoever, if you're saved here tonight, we have to do that. Before I knock on a door sometime, going soul winning, it might be good to offer up a Nehemiah prayer. Like, I'm walking from one house to the next, and while I'm walking, I'm saying, oh Lord Jesus, I don't know who's there, I don't know what they're going to, if they ask me something, help me know what to say, oh God, deal with their heart and speak to them and help them to receive the gospel. Holy Hills Baptist Church, that's a quick prayer, ain't it? That's all the time I got. Listen, I'm not negating scheduled, regular, intercessory, communion with God. You need to spend time. You need to get alone. You need to have your private time with God. You need to have your devotion time with God every day. But you need to walk with God in such a way and have a fellowship with God in such a way where it's a natural thing that all through the day as these things come up, I'm offering up little sporadic prayers for the need of the time and the hour. And if you're not thinking about that and it's not first instinct for you to do that, then that tells me you're not walking close with God. Because if you're in fellowship with God and you're trying to walk close with God, that's automatic. You go to him before you go to anybody else. While I'm being told off by a church member. I remember one time a particular church member, not in this church, but invited us to, she said, I need to talk to you. I want you to come over to our house. So we came over there. I sat in there here. She sat there. No, he sat there. Darby sat here. And she was right across from him. And I'm not telling it wrong now. If I am, correct me, Darby, because you have a better memory than me. I know that. When that lady started, she unfolded a paper. And pulled out that paper. She had like a, I don't know how, list. And she started going down the list with everything that was wrong with me and she was upset with me about. Some of it was absolutely ridiculous. You know what I was doing? God, help me not to blow my testimony. God, help me not to say something I shouldn't say. God, I'm getting mad. God, I'm getting angry. I feel my blood pressure. Oh, God, help me. Now, what old Dennis Knows wanted to say was, you ain't been listening to me for the last few years anyway. You're nothing but trouble. Don't ever come back to church. That'll do us all a favor. Goodbye. That's not very Christian. I had a fellow tell me one time, was my daddy's friend. He's dead and gone right now. And I don't know that he was much of a churchgoer. He might have been, but he was actually a mayor in one of these small towns over there around Mobile. He said, the difference between me and you, son, is you as a preacher. He said, and me as a mayor. I said, what's that? He said, well, I as a mayor, I can tell the people, I can call the people a blankety blank blank. And he said it. He said, and you can't. I said, yeah, I guess that's one difference. Although I don't know if he'd get reelected doing that. I tell you a good time to offer up a Nehemiah prayer when me and Miss Darby's fussing. That was funny. I tell you a good time for a Nehemiah prayer when you start hydroplaning. You're about to go off the road, about to wreck. Have you ever had to offer one of them prayers up? It ain't very long, is it? Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Jesus, take the wheel. Something. Any of you ever had to pray that? Yes, sir. Now, if Jesus would have had the wheel to begin with, he probably could have made it through the hydroplaning, but I don't know. Right before a test is passed out. Lord, I know I didn't study. I know I goofed off all weekend, but bring to recall those things I never studied. Amen. You reckon he'll answer that prayer? I doubt it. I don't think he'll answer that one. He might be. Lord God, I'm going to check B on every one of them. I pray there'll be more B's than anything today. Maybe you're waiting on a call back from the doctor, and you've been waiting and waiting, and the phone rings, and you look at the caller ID. So-and-so health center, so-and-so hospital. Now, some of you ain't been through that, but I have. Waiting on my test results, or maybe it's somebody else's test result. And you're like, okay, God, give me strength to hear it, whatever they say. You better know how to offer up a Nehemiah prayer. You better know how to do it. These prayers are absolutely necessary in a Christian's life, and they should become second nature for a Christian. You ought to live your life doing it. You know what you ought to do? You ought to get in the last prayer you can every time before you have to make a decision, give advice, or handle a situation. The very last prayer you can get in. Get in as quick as you can. It doesn't have to be something long and extensive. You know what a fella can do to get to heaven if he means it from his heart? Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. That does it. I know he's believing, he's got to believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but he's expressing to his heart that he does believe that. Lord Jesus, save me. I'm not preaching against long, extensive prayers. I'm not preaching against prayer warriors. I'm not preaching against a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yes, it does. But you're going to be faced with situations in your life. You need to be accustomed to it. You need to be so in tune to God that it comes right on you. And many times during the day, I got just a few seconds to pray. I don't want to make this decision. I don't want to give this advice. I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to have to handle this, whatever. I'm going to get in my quick prayer. I'm going to get in my Nehemiah prayer. Those prayers come from a Christian who not only is in constant communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, but that Christian realizes that he desperately needs help to know what to do and how to do it, or how not to do it. You know, if you haven't learn to give up Nehemiah prayers yet, it may be an indication tonight that you think you already know the answers. You think you already have the strength to handle it. You think you're doing pretty good on your own. And that's just absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. Well, the story ends well. We read it. God softens the king's heart. He let Nehemiah go to Jerusalem. There was pretty good opposition once he got there, if you read the story. But the wall, listen, he got there and he got the men going, and they built the wall back in 52 days. I mean, did it right and did it quickly. Folks, listen to me here tonight and listen well. We do not know what is coming in our lives. In this country, the days ahead. It's quite possible that I'm talking to somebody in this church that will have to offer up a martyr's prayer. It's not beyond believability that there may be somebody here tonight that says, God, don't let me recant. God, when they start the fire, don't let me. God, when they threaten to torture my young. I hope to God that's not that way, but there's people in China that goes on. There's other countries that stuff's going on. We don't think the church is being persecuted like the early church, like pagan Rome and then papal Rome. But it's going on. It just ain't going on here in America, but it's probably coming soon to a theater near you. You better know how to offer up a Nehemiah prayer in that day. If you think we can't even get folks that live a mile down the road to come to church, you think you're going to stand up against somebody and say, I'm going to burn you and I'm going to burn your baby or I'm going to cut your head off or I'm going to cut your toes off? No, you ain't. You're going to throw Christ up under a bus if you don't get in touch with them. We don't know what's coming. You better get familiar with Nehemiah prayers. It better come a regular part of your life. Just a natural, it wouldn't be a natural instinct, but a good spiritual instinct as a born-again believer. I've got seconds to pray. Maybe it's a situation where you got minutes to pray. But I'm going to pray. And I'm going to offer it up. Not because I'm lazy in my prayer life or I've neglected to take time to pray on a regular schedule. No, this is not either this or this. It's both. I have a regular prayer life. I have a quiet time with God. But when special circumstances come up, I am ready to offer the quick prayer to God to get his aid and to get his advice and his guidance and his knowledge about what to do. Amen, church. Lord God, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for our people being here. The great needs that are represented here tonight, only you know about them, all of them. Would you help them? Would you be merciful to them? Would you strengthen them, God? Would you take care of them and get them through this? Show them what to do. Whatever prayers they offer up, whether they're short prayers or long prayers, God, answer their prayers. Be merciful to them. Be gracious to them. Give them strength to get through it. Give them guidance. Give them some relief. Give them wisdom. Give them endurance and patience. Be merciful to them, Lord. And God, dismiss us in your grace tonight. We pray it in your blessed name, our Lord, our Savior, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ.